creature to walk the scene of time was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was said of him, "Never a man spake like this man." And he taught the people by parables, earthly stories with heavenly meaning. In this passage in Luke 15, there are three parables, and each one of them show the joy among the angels in heaven over one sinner getting saved. The first parable is the man with the lost sheep. He left the 99 in the wilderness and went and found it and brought it home rejoicing. And that is like a sinner getting saved. There's joy among the angels in heaven over sinners getting saved. And in it's a woman with a lost coin. And she swept the house down until she found it and said to her friends, "Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that was lost." And then last of all, there's the prodigal son here, the lost son. This young man went away into a far country and spent all that he had, but came back to his father. And his father killed the fatted calf, and it said he was rejoicing because his son was home. And that's what we want to look at tonight, the prodigal son. First of all, we have his request in verses 12 and 13. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And you notice, first of all, it's a selfish request. He wanted all that his father had for him, all that he had worked for, all that he had earned, but he didn't want his father. He couldn't get away quick enough, and he couldn't get away far enough. He went into a far country. But that's like many today. So it is. They want all that God can give them. Good health, wealth, a nice home and loved ones. But they don't want the Lord. And that's like the Jews in the days of Christ. They didn't mind the miracles, but they didn't want Christ, and they had him crucified. And there's people, and they even want and expect a home in heaven, but they've no time for the Lord or for his son. They'll say to you, "I don't do anybody any harm. I go to my church." Surely that's enough. And that's what they say. And it was a sinful request. It took him deep into sin. And that's why he left home. He wanted to have a good time. And there's many like that. And that's why they don't get saved. They think if they get saved, they couldn't have a good time. They couldn't enjoy their life. And that's why they stay away. But it didn't satisfy. In verse 14, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want." Sin never does. It leaves an empty void. All his money soon went. He spent all. All his newfound friends, they certainly went. And he ended up doing things he didn't expect. In verse 15 there it says, "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." He didn't think when he left home with his money in his pocket he'd be feeding swine like that. And even he stooped lower than he imagined. In verse 16 there it says, "And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to them." No man cared for his soul. He could have lived or died. Nobody cared about him. Oh, friend, how many end up like that? And far, far worse when they end up in a lost eternity, in a lost sinner's hell. The Bible says, sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And that's just not physical death, friend. That's eternal death in a lost sinner's hell, in a lost eternity. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin starts out making people happy and all. But then at the end of the road, they die and they go to be in a lost eternity. Friend, tonight, if you're not saved, we implore you, we plead with you, Lord, to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. And then we have his regrets. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And the time of his regrets, when he came to himself, sitting all alone in his sin, in his filth, when he had had nothing, stripped of his wealth, stripped of his friends, stripped of his food, stripped of his dignity. Bible says that's what sin does, friend. The way of the transgressor is hard, so it is. And finally, it will strip you one day of your soul and of your home in heaven. It will take you to a lost eternity, to a lost sinner's hell. And of the truth of his regrets, he says there in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. The truth was, he was well off in his father's house, and that he had been a fool to, and he realized it, and he realized it in time. And oh, beloved tonight, friend, that you would realize, if you die without Christ, if you reject Christ and go to a lost sinner's hell, then you're a fool. You've listened to the gospel many times. You've been implored to get saved. Members of your family saved. You're brought up in the gospel. And if you die in your sin, you'll go to hell with the gospel ringing in your ears. So you will. And then we have his resolve. Verses 18 and 19. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he resolved to do something about his plight. He wasn't going to sit there and die. Oh, friend, tonight, that you would have the same resolve to realize that you're a lost sinner and put your faith and trust in Christ and be saved. And we see the result of his resolve. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He acknowledged he was a sinner. So he was. And not just against his father. And he had sinned against him. He had broken his heart, maybe. But against God. And beloved, tonight, that's who all sin is ultimately against. It's against God. That's what David said in Psalm 51. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil. You must acknowledge, my friend, that you are a sinner and take the sinner's place. We think of the publican in the temple. and he prayed and he said, Father, forgive me. Father, Lord, save me from my sin. Oh yes, you must acknowledge that you're a sinner. And he acknowledged his unworthiness. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He didn't deserve mercy. He didn't expect mercy. He was happy just to be a hired servant. You may not expect mercy from God tonight. And there's none of us deserve mercy from God. But we thank God there is mercy. The hymn writer said, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. And then we have his return in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. When he returned, it was immediately. He didn't delay. He didn't put it off. He returned immediately, so we did. There must be no delay in coming to Christ. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You may have every intention tonight of being saved someday. Someday up ahead I'll be saved. I have no intention of going to hell. But friend, tomorrow's eternity hidden from view. And tomorrow you could be in a lost eternity. There's danger in today. If you keep putting off getting saved, you could end up too late, taken out of this world into a lost sinner's hell. And we see how he came, how he returned, just as it was. It says there, and he arose and came to his father. Came in all his filth, all his rags, and all his sin. He didn't try to tidy himself up. And if you come to Christ, you have to come the way you are, friend, just as you are. Some people think, if I'm to be saved, I need to quit the cigarettes. I need to quit the booze and the bad talk and all forth. Friend, you come to Christ just as you are tonight. And let him take care of your sin. Let him make you a new creature in Christ. Old things will pass away. And then, unto whom he came to his father. The only one who could do anything for him and who would help him. He didn't go to the servants. They might have wanted to help him, but felt they couldn't. He definitely didn't go to his elder brother, for he wouldn't have helped him at all. But Christ, he went to the only one who could help him, was his father. And Christ is the only one who can help you tonight. He's the only one who can save you. He's the only one who can make you a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Oh, yes. And then his reception. And his son said unto himself, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. And there, verse 20, he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. It was not the reception that he expected. His father was waiting for him. His father was watching for him. And he showed him compassion. He ran to meet him. He fell on his neck and kissed him. He made him welcome. Friend, tonight you take the first move, and God will do the rest. So he will. At the feet of the old rugged cross, there's an anthem for all that is lost, and you'll find a friendly welcome at the foot of the old rugged cross. And what the Father did for him, he clothed him. It says, the Father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. God always gives you the best, so he does. And this man got the best robe. And tonight, if you get saved, you'll get the best robe. You'll get the imputed righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. See you when, back there in Zechariah, in chapter 3, it says, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? So Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and stood before the angel. And the angel, and he answered and spake unto them, and stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fur mitre upon his head. So they set a fur mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. You notice they took away his filthy garments and they gave him new garments. And that's what the Lord will do with you, friend. He'll take away the garment of your own righteousness and he'll give you the imputed righteousness of Christ. And every time the Lord will look at you, he'll not see your filthy rags. He'll see the imputed righteousness of his Son, so he will. And then he put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet, it says there. The Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet. And that speaks of sonship. So it does. The Bible says, as many as believed in him, to them give he power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. But now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. If you get saved tonight, you'll become a child of God, an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, so he will. That speaks of sonship. And then he fed him in verse 23. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us be merry. And that speaks of satisfaction. The Lord just doesn't save. He satisfies, so he does. The writer to the Psalm of Solomon said, he brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And that speaks of sonship, so it was. And it speaks of satisfaction. He satisfied him. And the Lord save you tonight. You'll be satisfied with him. You'll not want anything in the world. You'll not want to do with anything in the world anymore. You'll live for Christ, and you'll love him, and you'll serve him with all your heart. The hymn writer said, take the world, but give me Jesus. And then last of all, he rejoiced over him. in verse 24 again. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. He rejoiced over him. And we just think, in heaven, if you get saved, they'd be rejoicing among the angels in heaven of you coming to Christ. And I'm sure if you live in a Christian home and you go home tonight and you say you've got saved, there'll be rejoicing, of course, there too. You come tonight, friend. Put your faith and trust in Christ. You'll never regret it. No one ever regrets getting saved, so they don't. You'll not regret it in life. The Christian life is the best life, a life of joy and contentment. You'll not regret it in death, because you'll be able to say about death, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And you'll not regret it in eternity. You'll be with the Lord forever and ever. But if you don't get saved, well, you mightn't regret it in life, but you will regret it in death. So you will. And you will regret it in eternity when you open your eyes in a lost sinner's hell. Friend, you come to Christ tonight. Be saved. Put your faith and trust in him. If I can be any help to you, I'd love to open the Bible and show you how you can be saved and how you can know you have a home in heaven. We have a closing hymn now, 222. 222.